Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 49, Text 23. Pushnati Yana Dharamena Svabhujya Tamma Panditam Te Kritartam Prahinvanti Sutadayaha Pushnati Yana Dharmena Svabhujya Tamma Panditam Te Kritartam Prahinvanti Naroya Sutadayaha Pushnati nourishes Yan, which things? Adharmena, by sinful activity, Svabhudya, thinking them to be his own, Tam, him. Apanditam, uneducated. They. Akrita artam, his purposes frustrated. Prahinvanti, abandon. Pranaha, life air. Rayaha, wealth. Sutta adayaha, children and others. A fool indulges in sin to maintain his life, wealth and children and other relatives, for he thinks, these things are mine. In the end, however, these very things all abandon him, leaving him frustrated. Purport. In these verses, Akrura is giving rather frank advice to Dhritarashtra. Those who know the story of the Mahabharata will realise how relevant and prophetic these instructions are and how much Dhritarashtra suffered for not accepting them. Although one tenaciously clings to his property, in the end all is lost, and the blundering soul is swept away by the wheel of birth and death. Om Jnanatimirandasya Gnanjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lankayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. A panditam, a fool. A panditam, uneducated, it's translated here, uneducated. Because pretty much everybody is uneducated. Certainly from the womb. Unless in very exceptional circumstances. Most people come into life in ignorance, ajnana. And one of the symptoms of ignorance is this mentality of thinking, aham ameti, I and mine, svabuddhya. He's thinking, this all belongs to me. Where in actual fact, everything belongs to the Supreme Personality, the real Ishvara or controller, the ignorant or uneducated person thinks, Ishvaraham Mahambogi, I am the controller and the enjoyer. But in actual fact, the reality is the opposite. As a result of this ignorance, the foolish person acts adharmena. That means by sinful activities. Adharmena. They don't understand what is to be done or what is not to be done. This is a symptom of a adharmena. They perform activities focusing on this false bodily identification, thinking that their wealth, their family, their friends will protect them. In fact, they get great pleasure out of these things. Pushnati means that which nourishes. Pushnati. That which nourishes. They get satisfaction by working for the family, by working for money. Especially working for money. Accumulating wealth. Because wealth is really the means by which one can acquire sense gratification. And so therefore, as it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, they think money is the honey. And so therefore they work very hard to get money, thinking that the money will protect them. But actually the money won't protect them. The family, the friends, the wealth, all of these things are described in the Bhagavatam as fallible soldiers. Right? They won't protect us. At the time of death, the money, the family, the friends, all of these things will reveal themselves as being fallible. Prabhupada gives the example of an acquaintance who was very wealthy, and he was given his death notice, and he was begging with the doctors, I'll give you so much money if you can just extend my life for another 4 years so I can fulfill my plans. Of course the doctors were not able to extend his life, and he wasn't able to fulfill his plans. But the foolish persons, foolish people, they apandita, ignorant persons, uh, whilst they may be conscious of these things. And it's interesting here, Dhritarashtra heard this information from Akrura, and he presented it. He knew all of it. Actually, he understood it. He understood it. Everybody knows that they're going to die. Everybody knows that their money, their wealth, they know that these things are fallible, that they can't be saved. But yet, despite the fact that they may have some intellectual understanding, still they behave in a way that is not beneficial for them, adharma. They behave in a sinful way. Arjuna mentions this to Krishna. You know, why am I forced to act, even though I know that what I'm doing is not beneficial for me? Why am I forced to act? And basically, one is forced to act as a result of one's desires. And even though Dhritarashtra could understand what Akrura was telling him was true, still he couldn't, even he admitted it, still he couldn't stop himself from behaving in a way which was ultimately degrading and unbeneficial for him, his family, for the whole core of a family. Dhritarashtra was forced to pursue a course of action that was ultimately beneficial for no one. This is foolish. And so consequently, as a result, then, akrita artam. He was frustrated. Akrita artam means he wasn't able to get what he wanted. Akrita artam. Artam means that which is desirable. Akrita means he couldn't do it. Krita means to do. Akrita means couldn't do. Akrita artam. So he was, such persons are ultimately frustrated. Everybody's looking for some satisfaction, some happiness, basically. But if a person looks for happiness in things material, then they're bound to be frustrated. It's inevitable. And you know, we can see it actually, history, recent history demonstrates this. Look at these, you know, the big thing in the last few weeks has been the culmination of many years of investigation. And finally, Carl Williams pleaded guilty to murdering 4 people, but he's probably killed at least 10. Right? But it's a good example of somebody who, you know, with so much money and so many friends to protect him and to kill all of his enemies. Right? He thinks he was calling himself, "I'm the premier. You know, I'm the premier of Victoria. People do what I say around here. If they don't, we'll shoot them." This is a very classic example of a demon, demonic mentality. He is my enemy, and I will kill him. That's what they think. But then, of course, as time unfolds and as events, you know, gradually unravel, and eventually all of his friends, all of his money, all of these things fail him. His friends turn on him, and then the next thing he knows, they're the ones who are telling the police all of the things that he's been doing. His money is of no use. He can't buy his, you know, another fellow, this Mockbell, you know, what was he doing? He attempted to bribe 3 judges so that they would let him off of his charges of cocaine dealing. He also was killing people left, right and centre. So good example. Become very, very powerful, become full of one's own importance, but in due course of time, the results of your sinful activities catch up with you and eventually you're completely frustrated. And so therefore, you know, the happiness, the satisfaction, the peace of mind that people think will come from, say, accumulating money, one gets exactly the opposite. One becomes defeated. And then what's the result? It's interesting. In the end of the story of Ajamil was actually a very sinful fellow, but because he was a devotee, because he chanted the name of Narayana, then he was saved by the Vishnu Dutas. Of course, this was a source of great frustration for the Yamadutas, because the Yamadutas' business was to gather up all of the sinful men, and of course, ostensibly, externally, Ajamil was a sinful person. But because he was chanting inoffensively, albeit unknowingly, he was purified. So there was a debate between Yamaraj and the Yamadutas. And the Yamadutas would say, you know, how come we failed at our mission? Ajamil was a sinful man, and yet we were frustrated by the Vishnu Dutas, so we weren't able to fulfill our responsibilities. So what's going on here? We are following your instructions, we're your faithful servants, but how come we have a faulty master? We can't pursue our duty properly, and we failed in the pursuance of our duty. So what's, you know, there's something wrong here. So anyway, Yamaraj told the Yamadutas, he said, in the future, please don't harass the devotees. Anybody who chants the name of Krishna, anybody who wears the tulsi or the tilak, don't harass them. Only bring me the sinful persons. Those who engage in activities, adharmina, sinful activities, bring them to me. So this is what happens to such persons. They're brought to the court of Yamaraj by the Yamadutas. And then they're punished, as is mentioned here. The blundering soul is swept away by the wheel of birth and death. So to the house of Yamaraj for some conditioning, and then next lifetime take birth as a, who knows what, dog, hog, camel, ass, depending on how you've been behaving, then as you act, then you create a future for yourselves. As we act, we create future for ourselves, and if it's in this fashion, sinful activities, then one has to be conditioned by Yamaraj so that one can then take birth again to work off the reactions of one's sinful activities. So in this way, the pursuit of happiness by the foolish living entity ends up in distress. And so therefore he is frustrated. Akrita artam. His purposes are frustrated. There are two types of people, Prabhupada mentions. There are the Grihamedis, generally this type of person that's mentioned here, and then there is the Grihasta. The Grihamedi is engaged in activities generally which means enviousness of others, as described in the Bhagavatam. Medhi means those who are envious of others. And because of that enviousness, then they come into conflict with each other. Because there's competition. Competition for resources. So the Griha Medhi falls into this category of apanditam, ignorant. Whereas the opposite, their opposite or their counterparts, the saintly persons, they understand the real purpose of existence. The real purpose of existence is not to accumulate material things which will ultimately be destroyed. But rather the purpose of existence is to cultivate some knowledge of what is truly and factually valuable, that which lasts. And that lies in the cultivation of spiritual knowledge. The association of the Griha Medhis is very dangerous because it is basically steeped in ignorance, and so therefore for those who are trying to become pundit or learned, that association is avoided. It's dangerous. The behaviour of a Vaishnava is such that they avoid such association, usually. Asat sanga tyaga e vaisnav achas, described by Lord Chaitanya. The Vaisnav achar, or the Vaisnav behavior, is to avoid asat sanga. The devotees avoid those persons whose consciousness is absorbed in making money, supporting their family, and other such. Because supporting the family is not wrong. That's why we have the Grihastha and the Grihamedi. The Grihastha also supports his family, his or her family, but in the context of making spiritual progress or spiritual advancement. Whereas the Grihamedi engages in activities focused on the family, but which are degrading and are not supportive of spiritual endeavours. There's a difference. So therefore, one ordinarily would avoid that kind of association. It's very much on a bodily concept of life. Ahamamiti, I and mine, based on a bodily concept of life. Whereas the devotees, their basis for action is founded in a spiritual understanding of existence. Aham Brahmasmi, that I am by nature spiritual. Now, even though ordinarily the devotees would avoid such bad association, still, understanding the importance of the cultivation of spiritual knowledge, the devotees go out of their way to give opportunities to the materialistic persons to come to a spiritual understanding of existence. Understanding that that's their real benefit. This is the real artha. The real desirable object in life is to understand one's spiritual existence. Spiritual identity. And you can see it, even grossly materialistic people can appreciate the benefits of spiritual practice. Just like last night, you know, we were having a kirtan in the city, and it's amazing to see the response of the people, even though most people are basically materialistic. When they see the devotees chanting Hare Krishna, then they become very happy. It's amazing how many people are smiling and waving at the devotees, even who get up and dance, just like there were those young guys who were dancing with us, and then at the end they said, "You guys rock!" So they don't have any understanding really about spiritual life. You can see by the way that they generally the way that they dress and the way that they behave ordinarily. Yet, when they come into the association of the devotees, because of that positive association, then they also become enthused to chant Hare Krishna and to dance. Right? They become enthused by a spiritual association. So even though materialistic people don't have an understanding, still there's this inclination or this inspiration that comes from good association. This is the power of association. Just as asat sangha is powerful and best avoided, the association of the sadhus is similarly potent, but in a positive way. So therefore the devotees take risks to help elevate the adharmena, or those who are not educated, apandita. They give them association so that gradually they can become learned and positively influenced, so that their behaviour becomes beneficial for them. Very important. Of course, this is Akura. Akura, even Madhura, we see these devotees going out of their way to encourage Dhritarashtra, give up your foolishness and follow the positive path. Of course, in Dhritarashtra's case, he was too attached. But that still didn't stop Vidura and Akura instructing Dhritarashtra. So even though we know that the asat sangha, the foolish persons, are bad association and best avoided, still the devotees think of ways to give them positive association so that they can change their intelligence, their understanding, their learning, and adjust their behaviour so that they can become positively engaged in activities that will help them achieve the ultimate goal. Instead of being frustrated, they will become satisfied. Material pursuits bring material results, but those results have no endurance. Adhyantavanta kumteya na teshu ramate buddha. Krishna says that the wise person doesn't take pleasure in the temporal things of the material world because they have a beginning, a middle and an end. And the separation that comes in the end causes suffering. Whereas even though the devotees are not interested necessarily in material things, they may have them or they may not, that doesn't disturb them, their focus is on cultivating spiritual knowledge, which doesn't desert us. It stays. It is permanent. Sat, as opposed to asat. So the devotees go out of their way to, first of all, act in such a way so that one can understand these things properly, and then go out of their way to give that learning and understanding to others. Sometimes they will accept the instruction sometimes they won't. Here, Dhritarashtra has been given good instruction, but he doesn't accept it. Even he accepts that it is correct, but still he's not able to follow it. Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Well, in Dhritarashtra's case, he, at the end of his life, he was totally frustrated. And humbled, if you like, by his circumstance. You know, he had all of his life being, well, not all of his life, but for, you know, for the major portion of the last part of his life, he had been totally inimical to Yudhishthira and the Pandavas, and yet here he was living in his house now, right? And totally, you know, just humiliated, right? So he had received the instruction, as it mentions here in the purport. Akura is giving rather frank advice to Dhritarashtra. Those who know the story of the Mahabharata will realise how relevant and prophetic these instructions are. So he had got the instruction, he even had accepted it positively, yet he couldn't follow it. And then, at the end of his life, again being instructed by his well-wisher, Vidura was his well-wisher. And yet he was thrown out of his home, basically speaking, by Duryodhana. Yeah, so Duryodhana was being offensive to so many people. And even Dhritarashtra accepted that, could recognize that in his son. He was, you know, it was advised at the time of the birth of Duryodhana, he was advised that he should kill his son. That was the advice. Or, you know, just go and abandon him somewhere. Let him die of natural causes somewhere, you know. This fellow will bring great suffering. So he understood that. But it wasn't until he had practically experienced it. You know, he had to have the you know, there are three types of intelligence that Prabhupada talks about. One of them is activated upon hearing good instruction. When you hear good instruction, you say, yes, that's good, good advice, I'll follow it. Right? There are those who hear good advice, don't follow it, but on getting the result of getting the reaction of their behaviour, they realise, yes, I won't do that again. First class intelligent hears and then doesn't do it. Second class intelligence hears, doesn't accept the instruction, and then as a result experiences the ramifications of not following the instruction, and so therefore follows the instruction. And then there are those who receive instructions, don't follow them, get the reaction, but are still too stupid to follow the good advice, right? Even though they've suffered as a consequence, they still can't. You know, Prabhupada gives the example of a person who's told, don't steal. Oh, I won't steal. You'll be punished. Then there's a person who will steal, is punished, but then stops stealing. And then there are those fools who just keep stealing, thrown in jail, steal some more, thrown back in jail. as an example. Right? So it's a matter of having refined intelligence. And Dhritarashtra was fortunately able to act after painful experience.
Listening to this classes, Mayapur classes, the same chapter we discussed there. One of the Maharaj, the same question was asked, why Dhritarashtra was able to, in spite of so much advice that he didn't listen at that time, subsequently listen. He says the difference is attachment. When the attachment is gone, he was able to hear properly.
Yeah.
In the children, when he, so long as he is attached to his sons, any amount of advice. So the power of attachment and what happens to the intelligence.
That's what it says here. Sutta Adaya, children and others, attachment. Yeah. The attachment was broken. And so he was able to hear. Good point. And then act. Yeah, hear and act. He was hearing before. He accepted, yes, what you're telling me is correct. He was actually hearing, but he wasn't able to act because of his attachment to his sons. And his son was encouraging him to, you know, to allow his behavior. Anything else?
Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita that with practice and detachment you can train your mind.
Yeah.
But what can the conditioned mind do when it is not able to, it's not willing to accept and take firm decisions and not distract from those?
What happens?
Like Krishna is saying that one should be practice and detachment, one can train the mind.
Yeah.
But the conditional state of mind is that it is not able to take firm decisions. So how to fill the gap of jumping from third level intelligence to the first one?
Take instructions from somebody who has got first class intelligence and follow those instructions. Therefore we have the recommendation to take a spiritual master. But then the problem with that is you have to be prepared to accept the instruction and follow it. So therefore Rupa Goswami says practicing spiritual life effectively will mean accepting things that ordinarily you might not want to accept and rejecting things that ordinarily you might want to hang on to. So one has to be prepared to give something up that one would ordinarily be attached to or want to hang on to, or to accept something which one would ordinarily reject. You know, people are attached to their family. They're attached to sex life. Right? They don't want to give it up. I went to the car dealer the other day to get a quote on my car. And he was asking me what I did. I said, well, I'm a priest. He says, oh, you do this full time? I said, yep. The first thing he asked me was, are you allowed to be married? The first question. Right? I said, yeah, I'm married. He said, do you have sex? Third question he asked me. I said, yeah, if you want to have children. He said, if you don't want to have children, then you don't. I said, no. He said, wow! Wow, that's far out. I said to him, look, don't worry about it. It's okay, just don't worry about it. It's, you know, you don't have to worry about these things. He says, no, I like it.
You can see what he's... This is the first things he was asking me. Then I explained to him, I said, if you have a higher taste, if you're enjoying yourself with something better, then it's easy to give up. But I said, mind you, that's the most difficult thing for people to give up. He said, yeah, cigarettes, drinking, you know, that's easy to give up. But anyway, this is the big stumbling block. It was interesting. And the first, he cut to the chase right away. But it's interesting, actually. It was interesting, his response, because when I said to him, look, don't bother yourself with it. It's not a big thing. And he said, no, I like it. So even he could understand, he could appreciate the benefit of spiritual discipline. Huh? The benefits. There are benefits from these things. Even people who are attached, even Dhritarashtra, he's attached. He could appreciate the instruction that he was being given by Akrura, although he couldn't follow it necessarily. But for those who are interested in making spiritual progress, then we have, you know, we have to be prepared to accept and reject. This is the beginning of surrender. What is it? Anukulyena? No. Yes, anukulyena sankalpa. Pratikulyena varajanam, is it? No, hang on. Yeah, that's it. Those are the first items of surrender. Right? Accepting that which is favourable for devotional service and rejecting that which is unfavourable. And, you know, if you want to know what's favourable, then read the Nectar of Instruction, for example. And so, you know, Rupa Goswami gives us Vacho Vegam, Manasakrodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udrupasta Vegam, Etan Vegam, Yovisha Hita Dira, Sarvam Apimam Prithivim Sasisyat. So we have to be prepared to take instruction in order to learn how to control the urges that we have to speak, to eat, to make, defend, all these different things. We have to learn to control. That comes from good instruction. And then different others. Being enthusiastic, being patient, being determined, avoiding bad association, etc. Atyahara prayara saschapa jopo niyamagraha. Giving up the negative things.
But the question was that you may be giving the instruction, but you may have difficulty following the instruction. So isn't the answer that the only way you can follow the instructions are raising the consciousness, and that's why I'm with the process of changing my relationship, so raising the consciousness?
The question, as I understood it, was... if your mind is not prepared to accept, right, then how do you, or is not able to decide, you know, what is the right thing to do? That's how I understood it. But what you're saying is correct also. We need to elevate our consciousness. But that's, if we're not able to, if our mind is not able to determine what is the right kind of, what is the right action or right kind of behaviour, or accept even. But my point is, we have to be prepared to accept. Right? You're not going to make... It's a bit like, you know, we're not going to make spiritual progress unless we accept good advice. Right? That's what happened to Dhritarashtra. He wasn't able to accept the good advice. He didn't make progress. He suffered. Exactly. Yeah. That's right. Yes, that's why. Okay, we need to have breakfast in 7 minutes. So, better whip and get the prasadam and take it upstairs so we can have breakfast quickly and then get into town for this rehearsal.